healer. It is God's will to heal, was what we just, to heal all, is what we just talked about. Now we're going to talk about, it is God's will to heal you. This is important information for you to know for yourself and for you to know when you minister to others. They are not an exception to the Word of God, but they sit right in there with the Word of God. And it is God's will to heal you. And we're going to review these scriptures again, because these are going to be our primary scriptures for this entire course. Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. What does that mean? It means Jesus took your infirmities and your sicknesses. Go ahead and say that with me. Jesus took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. So Jesus literally took the cause of sickness and the cause of disease. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus was made to be sin for us. He took sin so that we could be free from sin. He took sickness so that we could be free from sickness. And we know in Galatians, it says that he was made a curse for us, that he took the curse upon himself. So in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, it talks about the curses that would come upon people for not obeying the law, the Word of God. And it's a long list, but the good news is that in Galatians, the New Testament, Jesus said that he was made a curse for us, meaning any reason why somebody might have disobeyed the law, where a curse could come on them, Jesus stood in the gap for them. Praise God for him. Aren't you thankful for him? So Jesus Christ took it upon himself in Galatians. He took the curse so that we don't have to, which means we have a right, a God-given right, and a privilege before God to stand healthy because of what Jesus did for us. So we can just take Jesus then as our healer and believe that he took all sickness, he took all infirmity, so that it cannot and does not have a right to come on our body. Now, that does not mean we continue in sin, because you open yourself up to stuff when you do that. But it means when you sin, if you sin, you are just very quick to repent. And you thank God for the blood of Jesus. And you thank God that you are protected by Jesus. You see? And Jesus took it. Jesus took the cause for sickness and disease. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes ye were healed. Past tense. Ye were healed. Meaning the work for healing has already been done. What happens is faith taps into that promise and believes and receives and then gets the manifestation of the healing. And we'll look at that a little later. But now I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7:7-11. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Is healing a good thing? Yes. If we ask for healing, is God a good Father that will give us healing? Yes. In his Word, he's already shown us that he's made provision for it through Jesus. So he wants us healthy. He wants us to know his Word regarding health, and he wants us to know those promises so that we can go to him for those promises to be made real in our lives. We can believe him for those. Now go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. And Jesus answering, saying to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. So again, we're looking at asking. He wants us to ask. He wants us to believe him for these promises that are in his word. God does not make us sick to teach us lessons, just as a good parent would not do that. Parents have better ways of teaching children lessons. You ever make your children sick to teach them something? Neither would I. No, we're the ones that are in there. If there is a fever, we're trying to reduce it, put them in a bathtub, give them some type of aspirin, lay hands on them, pray for them. I mean, if it's at our disposal, we use it. Why? Because we want the child healed. We want the child healthy. We certainly, if we being human, God's creation, can have the wisdom to know there are better ways of teaching children than to put sickness on them. Certainly God is more intelligent than we are and has better ways of teaching us lessons than to put sickness on somebody to teach them something. So that whole thought process is really tweaked. And actually, I think it's rather insulting to the living God that somebody would think so low of him as a father that they would think that he would make someone sick to teach them a lesson. And yet there are so many Christians that believe in that way because they've been taught wrong, many of them. And so we have the privilege now of taking the gospel to a lost and hurting world and even to other Christians that have been taught wrong. You may be ministering to Catholics in the hospital, and you can show them, no, look, let me show you some scriptures. This is your Bible too, right? You believe the Word of God. Let me show you what the Word of God says about healing. Look at how Jesus healed here and how Jesus healed there. What did Jesus do? He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. God doesn't cause sickness to teach you a lesson. God wants to free you up from it. By his stripes ye were healed. Himself bore your infirmities and carried away your diseases. And you can change their thinking. And as soon as you change their thinking, you've opened the door up to being able to then help them to receive healing. But if they don't know it's God's will, they don't know that they've got a right to it. So you can teach them and show them what the Word of God really says. Show them in the Bible. Show them in the Bible so they can see it's the Word of God for themselves. That's why I'm having you underline these passages. That's why I want you to see them for yourself. That's why this isn't just church where you sit back and get comfortable and let somebody stand up here and talk to you for 45 minutes. I want you flipping from page to page in the Word of God so that these scriptures are life to you, so that when you need to go minister to somebody, you know where they are. You're familiar with this book. This book is life and health to your whole body. If it's life and health to you, the more you know this, the more life and health you have to distribute to others. But you've got to know this and get this in you so you've got something to give to somebody else. Okay, Proverbs 4:20-22. Go ahead and turn there. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. But notice, they're not life to just everybody. You have to find them. You've got to know the word, right? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But to get free, you've got to know the truth. So if there are people walking around believing that God's using sickness to teach them something, then they're not standing against it and fighting it because they don't know the truth. So they're not free. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. His words are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. If you search out that word health there, that word health in Hebrew means medicine. It actually literally means medicine. And sometimes in your footnotes, in some Bibles, it will say that word also means medicine. His words are medicine to the whole body. They are life to those who find them, which we know because it's the way of salvation to teach us about Jesus, and health or medicine to their whole body, which means it, we know if he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, then he's our great physician, right? If he's our great physician, then we know the medicine that he's prescribing is what? It's the Word of God. So in other words, instead of whereas the doctor may tell you to take a pill, the great physician says take the Word. Now, it doesn't mean we're against pills. If something will help you, great, partake, right? If it's going to help you, because, you know, doctors are fighting the same devil that we are as ministers, we want people healthy. Doctors want people healthy. They're doing all that they know to do, but their knowledge is limited, whereas God's is not limited. Now, God says, take His medicine. What is His medicine for a healthy body? It's His Word. That's what He prescribes. It's His Word. His Word is like medicine. It's health to their whole body. So, I know that when we were at Rhema, I had a friend that was another student. They had a day where they started to not feel very good. So instead of just pushing through the whole day, they went home, went to bed, laid in bed, and read the Word, and then got up the next day perfectly fine. What had they done? They had built their spirit up. They had fed on the Word of God, gotten the Word in them so strong, fed on the medicine of the Word, so that whatever was trying to come upon them was pushed away. Got up and they were fine next day, right? So instead of having a week-long issue of the flu or whatever, it was gone. Because they took the time to put the Word in. Because they knew what the Word was. The Word is life and health to the whole body. In John 6:63, it says, "The words that I," meaning Jesus, "speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." His words are life. Now, if we still keep looking at Proverbs, it says, "Incline your ear to His words." In the King James, it says that. "Give attention to my words," or "incline your ear to my words, to my sayings. Do not let them depart out of your heart." So if we're to keep His Word in our heart and not let it depart from our sight, but keep it in the midst of our heart, if we're to keep God's Word in the midst of our heart, we're to incline our ear to it, we're to keep our eyes focused on the Word. That doesn't mean, every day of your life, don't ever do anything, don't get a job, just stay at home and read the Word of God always. That's not what it means. What it means here is you're to stay focused on the Word and to keep the Word in your heart more than unbelief, more than doubt, more than fear, more than circumstances, more than whatever it is that's bothering you. Keep the Word in your heart. Keep the Word before your eyes. And when you put the Word in your heart, you're feeding your heart in faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the more you can build yourself up in faith, the easier it is for you to believe and receive for healing. So faith and healing really go hand in hand when you're receiving for yourself. So you want to build yourself up in faith. Another good thing to do is praying in tongues. Why? Because you build yourself up in your most holy faith. Building yourself up, making yourself more prepared to be able to receive from God in a greater measure. Now, we've gone over this a little bit because we talked about this in the faith class, but healing is the children's bread. And again, what we're talking about today is that God's will is to heal all, and God's will is to heal you. How do we know it's His will to heal you? Well, because He calls healing the children's bread. We talked about that in faith, but let's look at that again in regards specifically to healing now. Matthew 15:21-28. Jesus said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Meaning, healing is the children's bread. What is bread? It's manna. It's something that sustains you. It's something that you live on. Healing is for us. It's for those that are in Christ. It is your bread. So say this out loud with me. Healing belongs to me. It's my bread. It's a privilege I have as a Christian. I believe and I receive healing. Jesus is my healer. Now, the centurion that approached Jesus about his servant talks about that being great faith. He had great faith in the Word in Matthew 8:5-10 and in 13. He is looked at as being somebody that had great faith because he simply said, "Say the word, and my servant will be healed." So what God wants us to do now as believers is to believe His word. Just as that centurion believed when Jesus spoke the word for healing that his servant would be healed, God wants us to believe His word, to take Him at His word. When He said, "By His stripes you were healed, Himself bore your infirmities and carried away your diseases," it is pleasing to God when you believe that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So But we are to be pleasing to God, and the way we're pleasing to God is by being people of faith. We are faith children of a faith God. We have the God kind of faith as a measure on the inside of our hearts, each one of us. So we are to grow and to develop that faith so that that faith can grab hold of something immediately and believe that it's done even before we see it with our eyes, because we're called to walk by faith, not by sight. So he said, it is great faith in Matthew 8. It was great faith when he took Jesus at his word. You just say the word and my servant will be healed. That's called great faith. It is great faith when you will take God at his word and believe that you are healed. Now, there's something about that because, see, sometimes you've got to fight through the symptoms, because what happens is, I know this because I've walked this stuff out. I know it's in the Word of God. You can believe it because it's in the Word of God. But, boy, praise God, I've had opportunities to walk this stuff out. I can tell you, I know it's true. I've experienced this just time and time again. I've had opportunities to experience healing where I've been healed instantly, praise God. And then I've been healed by my own faith, where I got it quickly. I've been healed where I got it instantly, where I saw the sickness come upon me when I was in pulled into a shopping mall and I was fine, and suddenly my throat started, I could feel it. I was starting to get sore when I swallowed, and I thought, oh no, you don't, devil. That one was instant like that. I said, you get away from me in the name of Jesus. You won't come on the temple of God. You won't come on the body of God. You're a trespasser. He is, too. And in just in case, I do this. I cover the ground. I believe in covering the ground. You know, sometimes we know we've sinned. But sometimes maybe we don't realize we've done something. We hurt someone or we offended someone. And so I said, Father, if I've wronged anyone, if I've sinned and I'm unaware of it, I repent right now. I ask you to forgive me. And then I'll be quiet and I'll listen to him. Is there anything specific that I need to repent for? And I listen and I wait. He'll bear witness if there's something. Something will come to your mind or something. And if nothing comes to your mind, then I say, well, Father, I thank you that I'm forgiven. I'm clean. I'm right before you. And when I'm right before you, I have a right as your child to walk in divine health. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I command that infirmity to leave me. And it left, picked off, just gone, like that. The next swallow didn't hurt. I mean, it was bizarre. So I've had healing like that. But then I've also had healing where I had to fight the good fight of faith, where the symptoms were still there. I still didn't feel good, and I just had to cling to the Word of God. I know I'm healed. I know I'm healed. I don't walk by sight. I don't walk by how I feel. I don't walk by that. I walk by what your Word says. Your Word says that I'm healed, therefore I believe I'm healed. Father, I thank you that I'm healed, even if I was dragging myself. But what happens is the mind thinks. The mind has thoughts all by itself. But sometimes it can have help with thoughts, too. Sometimes the devil will whisper to you, you didn't really get it. If you'd really gotten it, you wouldn't feel like that. Here's another one. You don't have enough faith. He's used that one on me. You don't have enough faith. And I start thinking, oh, well, maybe this test or this ball is so big that maybe I don't have enough faith for this one. But you know, that's a lie. That's a lie. See, the devil's tricky. He tries to use these little, anything he can get to try to deceive you from receiving the blessings or the promises from God. You don't have enough faith. Everybody else has more faith than you, but see, you don't have. See, that whole thing of trying to make an exception that, no, we're all given the same measure of faith. And whatever God gave you, it was sufficient. We all were given the same. And what you have is sufficient. It is sufficient. It's sufficient for every test and every trial that you face. You have enough faith. That's a lie from the devil. But see, if he can get you thinking like that, and he can get your brain onto that kind of a thought pattern of, well, maybe I don't have enough for this one. Oh, I guess I don't have enough faith. You stop standing. And then you actually get out of faith, because now what are you in? You're in unbelief, thinking, well, I don't have enough for this one. And then you start thinking, well, I guess maybe you have a right, because if I don't have enough faith, then I can't stand against it. And then here comes this package of sickness, right? See, little lies. So we've got to discover the little lies, the little deception that the devil uses to try to disqualify us from the promises and the blessings of God. The little lies that come, oh, you deserve this because of this or that. You're really not good enough. You did this, you did that. See, little lies, throwing little lies to just kind of get you off of your faith so you don't stand. No, you're a liar, devil. You're a liar, devil. I mean, the Bible says, you know, you're the father of lies. Liar, you come to deceive. I rebuke you, Mr. Devil. Get away from me in the name of Jesus. Not only that, the Bible says to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, which means that thought right there doesn't line up with Scripture, because Scripture says that I have a measure of faith. I've been given a measure. A measure is sufficient, because God gave me a sufficient amount. When He got me born again, I have a sufficient amount, and I stand against you and I resist you right now in the name of Jesus. And not only do I have a sufficient amount of faith, I have a sufficient amount of authority, because when He got me born again, He gave me authority. And He told me that I would lay hands on the sick. I would cast out demons. And I might as well just start with myself. So get away from me in the name of Jesus. I don't receive you. I don't allow you. The Bible says submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So see, that whole submission to God is very important. That submission means you're in obedience. You're in right standing. If you've done anything, you've asked for forgiveness. You're in right standing with God. Then you resist the devil, and he will flee. And I've used that one, too. You must flee from me. I am submitted to God. According to Scripture, you must flee. There's no option. That's the Word. I know the Word. I know the Word means the Word. The Word is the Word. You must flee. I just stand in it. Leave in Jesus' name. You can also bind demons. If you're around somebody, and this is going to be a good one for you that work with people in the world, and every time you get around them, you don't know why you start thinking that way or you start feeling that way. You just bind the spirit, because sometimes there's a spirit working in that. And so I just very quietly, under my breath, or I'll go in another room, say, I bind every power, principality, and rulers of darkness through strategy and operation against me. You won't work against me, and I bind you in their life. You may not have the authority to cast that demon off of them without their knowledge or without their being in agreement, because it has a right to be there if they want it there, okay? So you can't necessarily put them through deliverance unless they want that, especially if they're not ready. The Bible says it can come back worse. But what you can do is you can bind that spirit so that it doesn't bother you. So if you're in a workplace where somebody, whatever, they're yielding to depression or it's the spirit of lust, you just bind it. Very quiet. I bind that. You won't come on me. You won't come near me in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, yeah, I don't do it out loud where anybody hears me, but I just bind that thing. Bind their depression, whatever it is. But all I'm doing is safeguarding the atmosphere I'm in. You can bless them. You can bind it from influencing them. But you got to get them in agreement for deliverance. Okay? So I'm talking about they may not be in a place for that. And then maybe you just wait for your opportunity when they will be in agreement for that, when you can move them to that place, or you can teach them that God can set them free. So you wait. You just use wisdom. You wait on God. But you can keep your being protected and unaffected. Do you see what I'm saying in that? So that's just exercising authority over yourself for your life when you're around other people. Now, do we always go around doing that? No, not that often, but every once in a while, something doesn't seem right. You know, I taught my son that. There were name-calling at school, and it just seemed like more than it should be. And I'm thinking to myself, something's not right with that. And I talked to the teacher, and he's at a Christian school. I really talked to the teacher. But now I'm teaching my son what to do. You need to take authority over that. So now I've taught him, I want you to bind the spirit behind that, because that's not even them. That's a spirit working through them. I mean, it'd be one thing if it was just a little, maybe one here or one there, but it seemed like it was too much and it was too many different kids. It almost seemed like strategic to me. Too many different kids using the same names, thinking, and too many times, thinking, no, I don't like this. So we're going to take authority over that. So I need to be praying over him more. But also, he's growing where I need to teach him how to take authority over that. I'm not saying go start a fight. I'm just saying very quietly, you just get away from them and you bind it. I bind that power in the name of Jesus Christ. So before you just go running to the teacher, take authority over it spiritually. Why? Because it's just the way it's working. And since we have holidays coming up, this works with relatives, too. Do you have any relatives that are not saved? Well, when I pray over them effectively before these little events, I have a marvelous time. Or not a horrible time. It depends. Okay? But when I don't take authority over it spiritually, boy, zingers, arrows, flying, left and right, nasty, nasty. I used to feel like literally I'd leave some of the family events Because I'm thinking, oh, we're all going to love each other. We're just going to just love, love, love. I mean, obviously, they invited me over here because they love me. Well, you would hope. But I would leave feeling like I could, I felt like it was like I could physically feel arrows stuck in me. I was in pain from comments that were said. Just mean, nasty. I felt like I could just be pulling them out, pulling them out, pulling them out. And it went on for a while like that until finally we started realizing, okay, they just function a different way. We just need to take authority over this. I didn't do anything with them. I didn't do anything different. But on the drive there or at home before we go, I bind the power of the devil and specifically say, you won't work through so-and-so and call out their name. I bind you and I silence you in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, amazing. Suddenly they're all like, oh, nice. But if I have ever forgotten to do that, I forget and those zingers start coming. Those arrows, it's like, it's dangerous, it's painful, it's hurtful. And you just take authority over that. And it's just like, it's not even like the same person. Wow, why? Because God's given us authority. Authority to cast out demons. We also have authority. See, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We have authority to bind and to loose spirits. And we should exercise that authority. We should use that. Don't just, see, I said to my son, this is more, it shouldn't be like this. So you need to start getting aggressive. And this is something I need to train him in. He's not used to responding that way. He's not used to somebody being mean to him. He's been pretty protected. But now he's starting to get it. Now I'm saying, did you bind the spirit? Did you bind it? Anyway, we have authority, and we are to exercise that authority, bind and loose. So we covered, it is God's will to heal you. God wants us to take him at his word. He certainly has enough scripture in there that shows us that it is his word, and it is his will, and we know his will by his word. And it says very clearly in many times, many places, that it is his will to heal us. It is his will to heal you. He wants you to be healthy always. That is his will. That when he saved you, sozo, it was a complete. It was to be complete. But we need to have understanding of that knowledge so that we can walk in the benefits of what he provided for us. Jesus provided healing for you. He wants you as his child to walk in perfect health so that you're blessed and so that you can be a testimony and a light to the people that you're around so that they'll see that sickness has no place in you. Sickness has no place in a child of God. You are blessed by God. You have promises in his word that he's just given you gifts. So now it's time for us to realize the gifts he's given us and partake of them and appropriate them, because we only receive the blessings from God in his word that we appropriate. In other words, there's lots of promises written in his word, but the ones that we're able to benefit from are the ones that we understand and the ones that we receive. And we receive them by faith. You've got to believe it's his will for you to be perfectly healthy, and your children, and your household. And you've got to believe that it is his will for you to lay hands on the sick and for them to recover. And how do we know his will? By his written word. He left it for you in his word. In his word, he tells you these things. So you are the saints of God. You are equipped to go out and be a light in this world and minister his health and his healing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.